Tomorrow night, the series Lost comes back for the beginning of its third season. I have watched every episode of this show and could not answer any of your questions about this show.
Really?
I could name for you some of the characters, and I could name for you some of the conundrums on this show. But I can't figure out what the heck is going on with half the stuff that's happening on that island. So I thought we'd ask somebody who might have some insight into this, Lynette Porter, whose book, Unlocking the Meaning of Lost, came out a year ago, and she has now updated it through season two. Lynette, welcome to KMOX.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, my pleasure having you on here. So at the end of season two, Desmond hits the button and blows up the hatch.
Well, actually, he turns a key in the fail-safe.
Right.
The result's the same, right? We have this lovely feedback, and it looks like the hatch has been destroyed.
And what happens to the people? What happens to Desmond and Locke and the others who were there?
Well, that's what we're going to find out the first couple of episodes. Actually, we probably won't see that tomorrow night, but we'll have that within about a week. I've heard that everybody is coming back at least for a little while, so we're assuming that, you know, they all did survive at least that initial blast. But it'll be interesting to see how many people actually survive the whole season.
All right. Now, part of what happened with the hatch last season was they found another hatch.
The Pearl.
And there was the question of who's watching who. What do you think was going on there?
Well, I think it's all part of a larger experiment that someone else is running. Whether that turns out to be the Dharma Initiative or some other larger entity, we don't know quite yet. But, you know, I think they are right in thinking there is some type of experimentation going on the island. After all, if you have looked around the web and have seen some of the things for the Dharma Initiative, they've been involved with a lot of different types of experiments that seem to be taking place on the island. For example, they were dealing with animals and animal behavior and the way that animals would change in different climates. Well, we had our polar bear the first season. So, you know, it seems to be some tie-in there. And obviously, you know, maybe these behavioral experiments that they were conducting, perhaps in the Pearl Hatch, are part of that larger experiment.
All right. And what about the Russian guys at the very end of the episode who made that phone call to Penelope, who's connected to Desmond and all these various things? What's going on there? I'm completely confused by that.
Well, it was our first time to see the outside world, which is kind of interesting because a lot of fan theories had postulated that there really was no more outside world. So it's very good to see that the rest of us still exist out there somewhere. You know, I'm glad to hear that. What I think we'll find is that, again, as part of maybe a larger, maybe more sinister group out there, someone is doing some kind of experiment on this island, and obviously it's hidden part of the time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to see it except when there are these electromagnetic anomalies.
And that's what these scientists supposedly picked up on their instruments?
That's what they're supposedly looking for, kind of like the last one that Desmond says brought down Oceanic 815, whether or not it actually did. He thinks it did. So that when we have the hatch blowing up, that creates another kind of electromagnetic wave or some kind of energy that could be spotted outside, and that's what they picked up on.
All right. And Penelope, the woman who these two scientists called, she's connected how?
She is connected in a couple of ways. Her father is Charles Widmore, who is this wealthy industrialist who had banned Desmond from seeing her. So she had an earlier relationship with Desmond. They were very much in love, and it seems like they still are. But he was deemed unworthy by her father, so he tried to consciously split them up. Obviously, Penny goes against her father's wishes, though, a lot. And it's kind of strange that she would be doing this and her father would have no idea if he really is as manipulative as he seems. So it'll be interesting to see if Penny is really on the up and up, or maybe if she has some other connections we don't know about yet that we might not want to find out. But I hope that she's a good character. I liked what we saw of her.
I did, too. I think we may get more of her in flashbacks than anything else, but now that Desmond has been added as a regular, we'll probably get more of him, and I guess that means more of her, right?
I would assume so. I mean, after all, we've seen Jack's wife, Sarah, in a lot of different flashbacks. In fact, she's going to be in the first episode tomorrow night. So I assume that if we see more of Desmond, we're going to see more of Penny. She seems to be a big part of his backstory.
We're talking with Lynette Porter, co-author of Unlocking the Meaning of Lost, which won the Best Drama Award at the Emmys, and lots of people on that show have been nominated over and over and over and over and over again for Emmys and Golden Globes and so many other things. There are other things that happen in the last episode that I'm still confused by, Lynette, here.
Okay.
Sun and Jin and Saeed go off to the other side of the island on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They see the giant foot.
Obviously, there have been people on this island a lot longer than we might have thought.
Yeah, but they're only four-toed people.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
If it was three-toed, I would think Homer Simpson had stopped by.
Well, that's true. I started to say we could get into the whole cartoon realm here, you know, so that could be one explanation. But I have a feeling that we're probably going back to some other kinds of mutations and experimentations that have gone on for a very long time. Of course, I was glad to see it in another way, too, because there are so many popular culture references within Lost. It was nice to have a Colossus show up on the island. So we have a much richer history, I think, to tap into here. But, you know, it's one of those moments that you kind of makes you worry if Lost is going to be jumping the shark, because they're bringing in so many elements. But then you look at that four-toed statue, and it's just so cool that you have to love it anyway.
Well, this is one of the things about the show. Anytime you think you have anything figured out, here come 16 more things to confuse you.
And there's so many ways to interpret what we do see. I don't think you could ever get a group of Lost fans together and have them agree exactly on what we're seeing and what it means, which is part of the beauty of the series. I think it's as much an interactive game for us, even if we're just watching the episodes and not doing anything else with it. I know there's just so much involved to it. You can kind of take it at many different layers or different levels of meaning and have a good time watching Lost.
And I know that the blogosphere is alive with hundreds of people doing, millions of people probably doing analysis on every little thing about every little episode,
yeah,
which has led to a lot of the stuff that you have in your book, which is terrific and gave me a lot of insight into what was going on. What is the general consensus on the others? Well, I think it was Henry Gale, one of the others, who said to one of the Lost characters, "We're the good guys."
Right. I think he really believes that.
Do we believe that?
I think we're going to. I think we're going to find out that the others might be just as good as the other characters, our castaways we've come to know and love. After all, if you look at their backstories, you know, there's some things in there that probably shouldn't have happened. There are a lot of mistakes they've made. There are a lot of crimes they've committed. So even the people we consider the good people have a lot in their backgrounds that might be questionable as to whether they're good or bad. I think it depends on how you see them and when you see them as to how you make that determination. So what we've seen in most of season two is that the others have done some things we think are bad, all right? But if you look at life from their perspective, they've had members of their group killed by our castaways, either the Taileys or our original group from the beach.
Yeah, Ethan was one of them, right?
Yeah, Ethan was one of them, but also remember Anna Lucia very early on had killed a couple of people because she thought they were taking people from her group. They took the kids, and so, you know, she had gone through and had killed Goodwin, for example. You know, so there are many types of relationships going back and forth. Not all of them are positive. And I think if we look at things from the other's perspective, we might find out they have some pretty decent claims against, you know, our group of castaways as well.
All right. Now, I know a lot of people who watch the show are caught up in the soap opera of Jack or Sawyer, which one will end up with Kate. But I got to tell you, my favorite character remains John Locke.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do we assume that he survived the blast at the hatch? And if so, has his faith in the magic of the island been destroyed?
I think his faith has been restored. It took him until the hatch blew up, I think, to really believe there is something larger at work there. I remember one of his last lines to Mr. Echo is, "I made a mistake." So Locke, I believe, will survive. He's such a great character. I can't see that they would kill him off. But we might very much see Locke go back to being more the character we enjoyed the first season. Again, he's one of those who's ambiguous. We can't tell if he's working just for himself or, you know, if he really has the other's best interest at heart. But, you know, he's a character that certainly does seem to be based in his faith in the island. And I think he'll go back to that.
What about that soap opera trio?
Ah, well, it looks like Jack might be finding some new love on the island, so I don't know if Kate's going to be the only one in the running.
Oh, please tell me it's not Hurley. Jack and Hurley in season 3.
You know what? I have to stop you guys because I'm the one. Kevin watches, you watch,
yes.
Several people in the newsroom watch,
yes.
And you guys are scaring me. And I tell you, when it first got big, and people would talk in the newsroom.
Yeah.
It was so confusing from season one because they had so many questions.
Does it seem like we're talking in code?
It really
does.
Are
we speaking Klingon?
You really are. And you better not come dressed up in any,
no,
any way.
Well, see, it's easy to dress up like Jack because you just wear torn up stuff.
You have to have
easy.
Yeah, and they're also good looking, but it stopped me from getting involved because it is so complicated. It's not the kind of show that you can get in the middle of. And pick it up easily.
No, but if you look at things like the DVDs, or I'll put in a shameless plug for my book, if you read the book, you're going to find that it is pretty easy to catch up on. So there is a lot of mythology from the second year. But when you break it down, you know, basically there is a lot of character development. And once you kind of get a sense of who these people are, well, all that's going to change episode by episode anyway. So you're doing just as well as anybody else who's been watching the series all the way along. Lost is definitely a series about change. But within each episode, it's so well done that I think, you know, it might be a bit confusing at first to catch up on all the players because it's such a large cast, but pretty quickly you could get into the swing of things there. So don't, if you haven't watched Lost before, give it a try. It's a very exciting series.
Season 3 debuts tomorrow night on Channel 30 here in St. Louis and across the entire ABC television network. Lynette Porter, one of the co-authors of Unlocking the Meaning of Lost, updated through Season 2, and I'm guessing a year from now it will be updated for Season 3.
It is going to be updated. David and I are working on another edition, and that should be out in the spring. So it might not take us all the way through Season 3, but it will take us a long way into it. And there's always so much more to write about Lost.
Absolutely. I appreciate your expertise, and when I have more questions during the season, I may call upon you again.
All right. It's always fun to talk about Lost. There's plenty to discuss.
Thanks, Lynette.
Thank you.
Lynette Porter, the book is Unlocking the Meaning of Lost. There's a link to it right now on my website, harrisonline.com. This is KMOX.